Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and I'm sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and I know that there are babies in their high chairs grooving along to that theme music. That's what my babies did. And listeners, here's my question for you. Were you or are you the parent of a fussy baby or toddler? A baby who just can't seem to calm himself. He has trouble falling asleep, staying asleep, always seems to be crying. Did you ever put that baby in front of the TV or iPad just to distract the kid or give yourself a break? Let us know. Give us a call. Make the confession. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And I'm asking this because the American Academy of Pediatrics has just released a study by my next guest about fussy babies and how much more screen time they get. Dr. Jenny Radsky works in developmental and behavioral pediatrics at Boston Medical Center. Hello, Dr. Radsky.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. Tell us what you found.
Well, we looked at a really large data set of children born in the U.S. in 2001. So unfortunately, we weren't able to look at the new types of media like tablets and smartphones that are out there. But what we did look at was whether babies who were rated as really having more self-regulation difficulties, meaning just like you said, they're more fussy, they have a hard time calming down or soothing themselves to sleep, whether they watched more media when they were 2 years old. And what we found was is that these fussy babies did watch a small but significantly more greater amount of media when they were two. And if we looked at babies who were rated as really fussy both at 9 months and then still being difficult and having these self-regulation problems at 2 years, they were 40% more likely to exceed the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines, of not watching more than 2 hours per day.
So how did you actually track the screen time, Dr. Radsky?
Well, this was from a really large study that's been done actually by the U.S. Department of Education. It's called the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study. It's a birth cohort that they followed kids through their early years and collected tons of data on all these early experiences that matter in child development. And at 2 years, they just asked parents how much on a daily basis does the child watch TV or videos.
And were the babies fussy because of screen time, or were their parents putting them in front of the screens as, I don't know, a coping mechanism?
Well, we tried to look at some sort of causality by looking at the self-regulation or the fussiness in infancy and then what was happening later, you know, presuming that some of the early behavioral or fussing difficulties was predicting or was contributing to how much media the parents were choosing to expose the kids to. But I honestly don't believe that it's unidirectional. I think there's probably a transactional or bidirectional relationship between kids' behavior and media. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I've talked to parents where they have this really fussy infant who seems to kind of calm down or zone out a little bit when they're in front of a screen. And so they use that as a way to try to calm the child down and take a break. But then if the child is doing that more than they're doing other enriching developmental experiences, that child might not pick up some of the self-regulation skills that children naturally do as they grow. And then it becomes a cycle where that fussier kid watches more TV. Maybe the parents are trying to put them in front of educational media, hoping that it will help the child, and it can become a little bit of a cycle.
Okay, so listeners, tell us your fussy baby and screen time story. Did you ever put your iPhone in front of your toddler while you were waiting in line at the grocery store? Do you have a specific set of screen time rules for yourself? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Now, Dr. Radsky, I have to make a personal confession here, which is that my first child was incredibly colicky, and I really struggled with finding ways to not just soothe him, but take care of myself, get a minute to breathe. What are you suggesting to parents about dealing with these babies that have self-regulation issues?
Yeah, and I same thing. I have a 4-year-old now who was very, very intensely colicky. I think, which is why I became so interested in why this is such a stress for new parents, especially when you were expecting this calm baby. Oh, I had these dreams about what his, you know, his early infancy would be like. And then with my second child, who's now 8 months old, I thought the same thing. Oh, well, this one will be calm. No way. They're both really intense kids. They both went through a really bad colicky phase.
Oh.
And during that phase, you know, that 6 to 8 weeks where the fussing is at its worst, that's a time when parents really need to, you know, find a good book on calming fussy babies, get someone to come hold your baby so you can get a break. The TV at that point is, I think, only really overstimulating to infants. There's not really a role where that can really help. But I think when you're dealing with, say, a 9-month-old or an 18-month-old who still is this kind of intense and fussy kid, that's when the biggest temptation is, because I know my 8-month-old loves my phone. He's always grabbing at it, is to just hand that off to them and hope that that can, you know, calm them down a little bit. And I honestly, as a parent who has used media for my young kids too, I think a little bit of age-appropriate media, something that's slow, not highly fast-paced or fastly edited, not inappropriate, violent content, you know, something where it can be a little bit of downtime for the parent to stay sane, a little bit of, you know, time. The child might not be learning anything from that, you know, 20 minutes or half an hour that they're in front of the TV, but it's not damaging. And then just making sure that it's not replacing the other sorts of activities that do help build self-regulation skills in kids. And those are just, you know, play, exploring. When a child is fussing, it's hard work, but it's important for the parent to think, well, what does this fussing mean? Do they want a little one-on-one time with me? Do they need a little attention? Are they working on something that's really frustrating to them that I can maybe use this fussing moment as a teaching moment and kind of help them through problem solve around what they're trying to do? And a lot of that takes the parent's own self-regulation, honestly, of staying calm themselves and saying, okay, what does my child need at this moment? What are they communicating to me with this fussing? Rather than always trying to have a quick fix of, okay, I can't take this right now. You know, here's the phone or here's the tablet.
Let's go to Beth on the Upper West Side. Hi, Beth. It's Manoush.
Hi. So I actually have 4 kids from the ages of 8 to 18. And even when my 8-year-old was little, there just wasn't this proliferation of portable media. And what I see now, which I find really disturbing, is if anytime a kid is waiting online with their parent, and instead of taking that opportunity to interact with your child or learning how to wait and explaining, oh, we're online, we have to wait till we get to the end of the line, which is a self-regulating ability. You know, you have to know how to wait and be patient. You know, boom, the parent takes the iPad out or gives the baby their iPhone. And I find scary that kids can't even wait anymore without being bombarded with media.
What do you think, Dr. Rudesky? Is it becoming sort of a knee-jerk reaction on the part of parents? I know for me, I feel like, I don't know, a lot of New Yorkers don't want to hear my baby screaming, and that's why sometimes I would pull out the phone.
Right. I mean, I use the phone on the airplane for exactly that reason, like that I don't want to disrupt everyone else's flight with that. But I think there are these day-to-day routines, like waiting online, like traveling in the car, that might seem really boring or where our child starts to fuss. And the easiest and the thing that works most quickly is a device, because it's attractive, it's exciting to kids. But then there are some kids who actually really need to be explicitly taught these self-regulation skills. How do we wait when we're feeling frustrated for something? Do we count? Do we sing a song? Do we play a silly game like I Spy? Is it replacing opportunities for conversation in the car or other things that really help build kids' sense of self and their social skills and the other sorts of really important skills that really come from interactions with parents?
Daniela is calling from Flushing. Hi, Daniela.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I have a daughter who's now 12 years old, so she's in middle school. She was born 1302, so around the time of your study, I believe. Is that right, doctor? Mm-hmm. So at that time, I did feel guilt about using the screen, the TV, for, let's say, eating time, because she was a fussy eater. So I'd use it about a half hour in the morning. We'd watch Sesame Street, half hour in the afternoon, Blue's Clues, and then a half hour at night. But during the day, I made sure that we were out walking or at the park, at the bookstore. So I did use the media. I don't see any long-term effects because she's on the honor roll, and she's generally a good kid. But there is guilt. There was guilt at the time.
Oh, sure. Guilt. We all have it, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
And now I actually find it more challenging to get my children off screen time with video games. And now it's actually harder to monitor than when they were little.
Yeah, I mean, that it goes into a whole other territory. But let's go back to the little ones, Dr. Rudesky. Let's say a parent is losing their mind. The baby won't stop crying. They can't get help. What should they do? Is Teletubbies so wrong?
No, and I think that exactly what, this mom was talking about, of having a plan, having a set of rules. You know, she was very conscious and reflective about the way she was going to use media, and knowing it was going to be only be for certain hours per day, that she was going to fill the rest of the day with really nice, a range of different activities that are good learning opportunities for kids. And I think it's that sort of reflection about parenting that makes kids have good outcomes, because we're thinking, pretty consciously about the choices that we're making. I think when it becomes a slippery slope, if you start to feel like, well, this really works to keep him calm, I'm just going to keep having show after show after show, the child just gets used to that. And it's way harder to cut back on a media habit that the child's been conditioned to expect than it is to, cut back if they don't expect that already.
Let's take one more call. Kathleen in Tappan, New York. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi there. Thank you. Well, I'm a grandmother who frequently Skypes with her grandson, who has watched him watch himself on his grandfather's iPhone. And I would question the notion that seems to be running throughout the discussion that media is necessarily bad, or at least something that, you want to limit it. You want to think very, very hard about how you use it. I think that the parents should lighten up a little bit on themselves. And
right on,
also,
Kathleen.
Yeah. and also, I think it's worth looking at what the media, the many different kinds of media we are using today, what they do to those little brains. I don't think it's all bad.
Yeah.
Kathleen, thank you so much. What do you think, Dr. Rudesky? I guess the technology is changing, too. We're going to have to do this again in another 10 years, right?
I know.
Sorry.
Well, I think to point out, I think the examples that Kathleen gives about Skype or about watching a video together on a phone, that is how I see media being really, the purpose is to share an experience with another person, where it actually increases engagement between people or family members rather than being a barrier to engagement. And that's where I love using media with my young kids. I Skyped with my parents the other day, and they got to watch my baby crawl for the first time. It was awesome. And those are the sorts of ways that we can use media to engage. There's even an app that just came out from 0 to 3, which is an early childhood advocacy organization. It's called Let's Play, and that is an app that can, for each age range and for each difficult moment that you can think of, like waiting in line or doing errands, they come up with a few games that you can do to engage with the child and help them through that difficult moment, rather than it becoming something where you're just handing them a screen to, which creates a little bit of a barrier. But I also agree with the idea, too much guilt isn't good for parents either. It's important to be reflective, but it's important also not to drive ourselves crazy.
What a great conversation. Dr. Jenny Rudesky, thank you so much for being on the line with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Show.